Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, folks around the world, welcome back to Hot Takes Only. This is episode 55. First and foremost, to everyone watching and or listening and or whatever sort of capacity you're consuming this content, a very happy new year to you and yours. Hope you had a nice holiday season and are ready to get after it. Willie, happy new year, my friend. I'm excited to get back into the Hot Takes Only game. This is episode 55. Long overdue. We've both missed a little bit of time with illness and just general life getting in the way. But my friend, nothing is going to get in the way of us discussing college football at its conclusion at long last. We are at the national championship game. It's been quite a crazy season. Obviously, news of the conference realignment starting next season and just the way the playoff went this year. I want to get your reaction to the whole just general season and then the playoff, and then we have a couple items I want to pick your brains on before we move on to the next segment. So how we doing, how we feeling about college football, Willie?
Yeah, well, Owen, while we're at it, can we start by discussing the Florida State Alabama thing? Because
oh boy, we're starting off strong, aren't we?
I have lots. Because the first thing when it came to mind this topic is I wanted to discuss it with you. So give me your take. Do you know, A, should Florida State or Alabama have been the four slot? And also, like, do you think the results of the bowl games, you know, Alabama being very competitive in the semifinals and Florida State getting blown out, albeit without a lot of players, does that change your opinion at all?
Yeah, so, okay, as the frequent listeners and maybe new listeners may well know or may well find out as a result of listening to today's episode, I'm a huge Georgia fan. I did not go to the University of Georgia, but I did grow up in Atlanta, and when you go to a small liberal arts college like I did, you tend to gravitate back towards something that's familiar to you in the realm of college football. Like, you know, I went to a game when I was in college my freshman year at my college, and I stepped on the field or in this bleachers, and I was like, this is college football, because the level is not anywhere near that of even a, you know, bottom tier Division I conference, and that's fine. It's a Division III school. We don't have a football program anymore. So I tended to gravitate back towards Georgia. This is 2013, dating myself a little bit. And so what I will say is, I don't necessarily think that there's a right answer to who deserved the last spot. And to me, it's not just who deserved the last spot, it's who deserved the last two spots. Michigan was in, Washington was in, without a doubt. They were two of the best teams in the country all season long. And to me, the last two spots get decided oftentimes by one game that doesn't necessarily pit the best two teams in the conference against each other. They pit East versus West against each other. If the conference really was the conference system as it is now, and obviously it doesn't matter after Monday, if the conference system as it is now decided the conference champion by putting the best two teams against each other, then Georgia would have played Alabama I don't know how many different years in the SEC. Georgia played LSU last year, and it was a one-sided game. Georgia played Alabama the year before. It was also a one-sided game, but in favor of Alabama. Georgia lost that game in 2021. That was Bryce Young's Heisman year. He had a great game. The whole Alabama team just played great. Georgia did not play great. But still, Georgia made the playoff as the number three team. They were undefeated all season. 2021, play Alabama in the SEC championship game, and they lost. Okay, they play Alabama a lot, they lose a lot. That's kind of the story for a lot of other teams. And they still made the playoff, Willie, because they were, over the course of that season in 2021, one of the best, if not the best team in college football. And to me, you only have an argument for excluding one of the best teams if you have, in this case, like we had in 2023, an undefeated conference champion from a Power 5 conference. This is where my issue begins, though. To me, the idea of a Power 5 conference is based on historic performance and historic credibility, if you will. When we look at the current ACC as it is constructed right now, there is one team, if in recent memory, not including this season, before Florida State went undefeated in their conference and beat two SEC teams in the process. There's one other team that had any sort of legitimacy at the national level, and that was Clemson. They obviously won two, if not three, national titles, whatever it was. So the point is, Power Five conferences and winning your conference is not only not necessarily representative of who is the best team in the conference, it's also based on a historic ranking that doesn't always hold up. And to me, this year, it did not hold up. The ACC was not a strong conference this year. The Big Ten was not a strong conference this year. The Big 12 was not a strong conference this year. To me, the best two conferences in college football were the SEC and the Pac-12. The Pac-12 was a much better conference than people gave credit for, mostly because it was top heavy, but just in general, because you had two very good programs all year, two top five teams all season long in Washington and Oregon. All season, those are two of the best five teams in college football. The other thing that I have an issue with is just the structure of the college football playoff as it is now. Don't get me wrong, it's better than the previous format of, hey, we have, you know, two teams that a committee selects as these national finalists. Now you two play each other and whoever wins is the national champion. That doesn't make sense. So they expand it to four teams, but there's Power Five conferences, right? So you're going to exclude one team every single year, right? And if you have a season where five conference champions from the SEC, the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and Pac-12 are all undefeated, I don't know how that would work mathematically, but if you have a situation where that happens, you're going to be excluding one of a undefeated conference champion. So it, to me, it's the design of the playoff itself as it is right now for this season that is part of the problem as well. So going back to the whole thing, I don't think there was a right answer. I don't think there was a wrong answer. But I will say this, and I stand by this point. I don't care if this is a hot take or not. I don't think it qualifies as one. I think it's pretty well-founded. The committee did not pick the best four teams. They said all year the criteria is be one of the best four teams in college football. They did not pick the best four teams in college football. Texas was not one of the best four teams in college football. Neither was Florida State. Neither was Alabama. And by extension, neither was Georgia. So you're picking from six teams, all who have a legitimate claim. And it doesn't matter whether or not they got it right or wrong. There was never going to be a right answer. There's never going to be a wrong answer either. That's the problem.
Sure.
So I have my beef. And obviously this tangent turned into, you know, 10 minutes of hey, this system is stupid from a salty Georgia fan. But like, that's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot of great points. First of all, I actually do agree with you. I think a lot of people were fixated on the fourth team. You know, like should it be Alabama or Florida State or even Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, rather it should be there are two locks and the three and four should be up for grabs.
Yep.
I personally would say, like, to me, it's kind of weird. I actually would put, to me, there's actually only, in my personal opinion, there should only have been one lock, and that was Washington. You know, to me, I definitely agree that I think the Pac-12 and the SEC were cut above any other conference, and Washington went undefeated, won their conference championship. I think they should have been. If you ask me honestly, I do think, I would even have put in Michigan, because the Big Ten was not strong. They beat two good teams the whole season. That was Penn State and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play anyone in non-conference. And I think, for the record, the four teams that I would have put in would have been different. Like, I would have put in Washington, Washington, Georgia, Florida State, and I would have put in Texas over Alabama simply just because they beat them in the head-to-head.
Yeah,
you know, on the subject of now, I think it's wrong Georgia's left out. But I will also say, I mean, you know, I just would have been really curious because to me, look, we can sit here and say, like, if Florida State had a healthy quarterback, I just would have loved to see what the committee did. Now, because to me, Florida State should have been in the playoff. Like, now, from a fan's perspective, okay, like, yeah, without a healthy quarterback, Florida State would have gotten probably blown out by Michigan. With a healthy quarterback, and even with a healthy quarterback, you can make a reasonable argument that Alabama or Georgia would have beaten Florida State. I think that, but that is reasonable. But to me, you know, where I, it's just a tough one because for me, Florida State, what I really like about what them and Alabama did is they challenged themselves in the non-conference. Florida State, and that's kind of my issue with how they treated Florida State, which is that first of all, Florida State played, they played Florida, who by all means like was a ended up having an okay season, even though at the beginning of the season people were like, this Florida team's really bad. And they played LSU at a neutral field, who a lot of people thought coming into the season, I thought a lot of people were picking them to win their side of the division much more so than Alabama. They were the hot team coming into the season. So they challenged themselves in the non-conference and they won and they went undefeated. And to me, you know, they also had a great defense. So to me, given that football is a team sport, you can win with a great defense and that they challenged themselves in the non-conference season, I would have put them in over either Alabama or Georgia. But personally, I would have put in Georgia or Alabama over Michigan too.
Yeah.
So
And so
that's where I stand.
I don't disagree necessarily with your rankings. I think we have a very dangerous situation or very dangerous precedent to set if we're not including Florida State. But at the end of the day, is Florida State one of the best four teams in college football? Or were they one of the best four teams in college football this year? And that is a we'll never know, obviously, with Jordan Travis suffering a horrific injury that late in the season, right? But a healthy Jordan Travis, a healthy Florida State, do they have a claim to be one of the best four teams in college football? Well, they went undefeated in their conference, and that is a very hard thing to do. Georgia didn't do that. Alabama didn't do that. Two teams did that, and one team didn't, as you said, Michigan didn't play out of conference at all. So on the other side of that, I think with it's hard to ignore some of the bias that gets put on some of the legacy schools like Alabama, like Michigan, like Ohio State, like Georgia, programs that have maybe not Georgia in the same breath as Michigan and Alabama or Ohio State, but who have that legacy of success. We tend to weight those more than we do newer schools like Washington and Oregon, or schools with more not as much recent success or historic success as with Washington. Obviously, they have 91, and Oregon, they have those years under Chip Kelly and then Mark Helfrich. But I think it's tough because the rationale for putting in a team like Texas, like we talked about, because they beat Alabama. Well, here's my issue with that argument. Well, Texas should be in because they won their conference and they beat Alabama. Okay. Here's what happened in Texas's conference. Here's what happened in the Big 12. So Texas beat Alabama. Okay, that's fair. That's a good win at a hostile venue, right? Texas on the road against Alabama. It's a good win. Texas also lost at home to Oklahoma. Okay, so that's not good. That was their only loss, but yes, they lost that game. Okay, so here's more context for you though. Kansas beat Oklahoma.
Yes, they
Okay,
did.
Kansas Oklahoma State beat Kansas, and you know who beat Oklahoma State? South Alabama. By this logic, by the logic of Texas beat Alabama, therefore they're one of the best teams in college football, by that logic, South Alabama, I can't do this with a straight face. South Alabama beat Oklahoma State, who beat Kansas, who beat Oklahoma, who beat Texas, who beat Alabama. So by the transitive property, South Alabama is better than Alabama. That's what that says to me. If we really want to go that far back. And I know people aren't going that far back. It's just like, oh, Texas beat Alabama. Alabama's so good. So either Alabama's not as good as they used to be, or Texas is good? Like, which was it? And I don't think the fact that it was as good of a game as it was legitimizes or delegitimizes the process at all. Because you give any sophisticated college football program 3 weeks to prepare for a game, or actually almost a month, right? They're going to be ready for it. You give Nick Saban a month to prepare his players for Michigan, the best team in the country, by the committee's perspective, they're going to give him a good game. And they gave him one of the great Rose Bowls that we've had in recent memory.
Yeah.
Same thing with Washington and Texas. You give a team a month to prepare and get healthy and to get their whole team as right as physically and mentally possible for a game, they're going to be up for it. This is not a thing where it's like, oh, you know, Texas gave Washington a game and Washington went undefeated, therefore Texas is one of the best four teams. I mean, you give Georgia 4 weeks to prepare for Florida State, and yes, Florida State was missing a lot of players. Georgia did hang 63 on that team. And you could talk about all the opt-outs, you could talk about players not being healthy or, you know, not playing in the game, but if they're not injured, that's not on Georgia for hanging 63 on that. That's not on Georgia for them not playing. That's on them for not creating a culture of, I don't care who we play, I don't care where we play, we're going to play, we're going to show up, and we're going to beat someone. Mm-hmm. And Georgia showed up ready to play. Georgia had a lot of players opt out and who couldn't play as well because of injury. Imagine what the score could have been if Brock Bowers was in the game and Brock Bowers was healthy. I mean, he's consensus top five overall pick in the draft. So, I mean, that's some talent just left on the bench right there, and they still hung 63 on. Yes, Florida State missed a lot of their top players. Obviously, Jordan Travis, and I think Keon Coleman was another one of the big ones who opted out. But
yeah,
I think there's just a lot of really dangerous precedent you set if you make the argument that the committee selected the best four teams, because they didn't. I stand by that take that they did not select the best four teams. That's fine. I'm okay if you don't want to pick the best four teams. If you want to pick the four most deserving, Florida State should have been in there. Florida State is a deserving college football playoff team. They won their conference, a Power 5 conference. They went undefeated in the Power 5 conference and they beat two SEC schools. They did everything to deserve being in the playoff. However, the committee didn't go all the way as to let's include the best four teams. Because if you were to ask anyone in the SEC before the, or anyone in college football before the SEC championship game all season, who's better, Georgia or Alabama? Everyone's taking Georgia in that game, right? And obviously Georgia didn't show up to play as much as Alabama did, and they had costly mistakes that didn't go their way. They made too many mistakes, and sometimes that just happens in sports. It happens in football, especially in college football, when you have guys who are, you know, 10 years younger than both of us play in that game. I think it's just, there's no good answer for any of it. And I don't think the playoff results as they have stood right now really delegitimize any of the reasoning or legitimize any of it.
Let me ask you this question, Owen, because I completely agree with, you said a lot of interesting things, and I completely agree, but with all of it, basically. But, like, on your last point, because I do agree Georgia was definitely one of the best four teams, like, 100%. What matters more to you? How you look, the dominance, the margin of victory, or the strength of schedule? Because to me, like, it's pretty clear, like, we're being honest, that Alabama, Georgia, the last 3 years has, other than when they play Alabama, where Alabama beat them in the SEC championship a couple times, lost to them in the championship narrowly. You know, Alabama, you know, they are very competitive against Georgia. But for other than that, the last 3 years, they really haven't played in many close games at all. And that's a true indicator of who the best team is. You know, conversely, I don't like the fact that Georgia didn't play anyone in the non-conference. I think you need to be punished for that. I think that is your decision, and that's not fair. And it should be meaningful that Texas beats Alabama. It should be okay that Alabama loses because they're willing to challenge themselves. You know, and like conversely, you know, even when you look at Florida State, like at the flip side, when it comes to the margin of victory thing, like Alabama should be punished because I mean, clearly, like, this is not one of the better Alabama teams. And, like, yeah, it's a miracle they won, but, they lost, they got blown out. I wouldn't say blown out, but the game against Texas, watch that game, pretty dominant victory for Texas. They very easily could have lost to South Florida. They played in a fairly close game against Arkansas. They needed a heroic play by Milroe to beat Auburn. They beat Georgia fairly narrowly, even though that, I want to say narrowly, but like
I
a
mean,
lot.
it's 3-point game with a missed field goal from Georgia and some very, very, I mean, we're talking like inches.
So yeah, like that's a narrow loss.
Yeah.
You want to call it that. Whereas, and that's why the one thing I didn't like about Florida State is, like, to me, the argument for excluding Florida State is, to me, but simply is, like, A, their quarterback is out, and B, so that to me is the main argument. And B, if you want to say, okay, like, punish the ACC because they're the weakest of the Power Five conferences, like, fine. The one argument I really disliked as a fan was that, oh, everyone's like, okay, they played Louisville and they looked really bad and they won the game. When, first of all, Florida State has an elite defense, and I just don't understand because no one's punishing Alabama for playing an Auburn team that was not very good and for most of the season, like, could not throw the ball. And, or they play South Florida and they play their second and third quarterback and they can't even score like two touchdowns. So
Yeah.
I just really disliked if the committee was like, we looked at this last game where Florida State played Louisville and did not look very good and didn't allow them because of that. Because to me, like, then you got to punish Alabama. So yeah, ultimately though, I mean, I will just say I do think a 12-team playoff is going to be much better for the sport. And you're right, like, we will have room for all the best teams to get in, because as it currently constructed, the best teams don't get in, or even the best as most deserving teams. I think it's a
Yeah. I mean, Shannon Sharpe had a joke when back when he was on, I think it was best when he was still on Undisputed. He had a joke where the 12-team playoff was going to be called the Alabama Invitational. And, obviously this year, not so much the case with Alabama being head and shoulders the best team in college football, but I think we're going to see a change in approach, at least in the regular season, for a lot of the top programs. I think the focus is not going to be, obviously you want to win your conference and you want to go undefeated. You want to try to do all those things. But I think now with an expanded playoff, you want to try and get to the playoff as under no circumstances. If you're Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, et cetera, should you be missing the playoff? Right. That's probably going to be their mentality. And so does that mean, one loss against another one of those top, 5 to 10 schools, is that the end all be all? I don't know. But to me, it'll make a little bit more sense. And also because just the conferences are going to be so different next year with the Pac-12 basically ceasing to exist, the SEC gaining Texas and Oklahoma, I think will be a lot of fun to watch just from a neutral perspective, because then you get to see, I mean, Texas has played Georgia this year. That'll be a lot of fun. I mean, the last time Texas played Georgia was in the what was it, the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago, when Sam Ellinger said Longhorn Nation were back, and then proceeded to watch Texas fall off a cliff while Georgia won two national championships. Anyways, it makes for an entertaining product, and I think that is, as fans, that's the only thing we can really hope for, is just to have the most entertaining product, and to just have a general sense of this college sport that we love so much played by, glorified semi-pros, really. I mean, they're getting paid, especially with name, image, and likeness deals, and it's made the game a lot more enticing just from a neutral perspective, because you're not worried about, like, oh, these guys aren't being paid, like, oh, all they care about is going to the NFL where they can get paid. It's like, no, now where they can, and there's a little bit more reason to care. And I think this year, it leads me to the last question I want to ask you before we get to our other major point of discussion on the podcast, which is baseball. But I wanted to get your perspective on this. We've talked about whether or not the committee got it right, and I think you and I both kind of agree there's no right answer. I don't know if this was the wrong answer, but the games were entertaining enough where at this point it doesn't really matter. It's just, I mean, Florida State obviously has a lot of reason to feel hard done by. But it, you know, to me, again, this is easy to say for me, but if you're me and you are part of that Florida State coaching staff and you feel as disrespected as they did, and your bowl game is basically a nothing, like you're not playing for a chance to play for a national championship, then why even suit up? Your chances to say, well, you have the ultimate ability to raise the biggest middle finger to the committee by going out and dominating Georgia, right? That's how they could have gone about doing it. But instead, you know, a lot of players chose not to, and I don't fault them for doing that. A lot of the guys who are headed to the next level have their careers to look after, and that's very important, especially at that age. Like, if you would have told me at 21 or 20 that, like, hey, you have an opportunity to, you know, make a lot of money in your next endeavor contingent on the performances now, but you can severely hurt your stock if you, you know, if something happens to you, then I would gladly be, I would be like, yeah, no, I'm not risking it. I'm gonna, you know, try to go to the next level. So again, this is super easy for a neutral, non-athletic, armchair coach, analyst, whatever you want to call me. And I got a lot of flack in one of my last YouTube videos for saying that Georgia was slighted more than Florida State. And I stood by that take originally, and I'm not going to say that I am apologizing for it now, because I think, you know, what's done is done. The take's up there. The video's still up there. Georgia still had a very compelling case. If you personally ask me, I think we're not giving enough flack to some other schools, but we've talked about this already. The last thing I'll say on that is just, you know, I was wrong. Florida State beyond deserved to be in there, and the committee just didn't see it that way, even though they were deserving, despite maybe not being one of the best four teams at that point in time. We could go on and on about this, but I think we can leave it on that point. Anyways, the question I was going to ask you, Willie, before we went on that long tangent. College football as a whole, the product, the whole thing, is it headed in the wrong direction? What do you think it's headed in the wrong direction?
Yes, I do.
And why would you say so?
You know, I think, you know, again, and I've said this before, and, you know, there's a lot of theories on what there. So to me, we have two problems in college football. Number one, kind of like this whole Super League model where you have conference consolidation and teams are trying to leave the conference they are to flock to the SEC or the Big Ten. And, you know, even some of the mid-major schools are going to the, you know, ACC or Big 12 and kind of leaving there. And those two conferences are trying to survive, although they might eventually be there. So we're in a situation where, based on the television contracts, these school when, you know, based on the television contracts, combined with the fact that while they're not connected, and the NIL can actually serve as a little bit of a equalizer, that many of these big schools also have tremendous NIL support. We're becoming in a situation where basically the rich schools are having so much money that they have such an advantage over everything else. So if you're a school that is outside of the schools without the biggest NIL boosters and the biggest television contracts, you know, you're going to be in a situation where it's going to be really hard to attract top end talent, top end coaches, build top end facilities, and to compete in the conference. So number one is, I think we're going in the wrong direction because there's just a widening gap where I just think the best teams are going to become better, and it's going to make teams that could really make a run at a playoff spot, you know, less. The second reason is that, you know, the bowl game situation where, to me, you know, Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day had a great example where, you know, they asked him about the opt-outs in these bowl games, which growing up, I love the bowl games, you know, and I because they give you something to play for, you know, and as a fan of two teams, you know, Ohio State and Syracuse, you know, Ohio State, they're always playing for the big, but for Syracuse, like a good season for us was always 7-5. And we had a bunch of 7-5 teams, some 5-7 teams, 6-6, but I was always really excited to for us to like make a bowl game. And I would watch all the bowl games. And Kirk Herbstreit, he said, why don't just basically treat the rest of the bowl games like the NIT? And he's like, you can have like everyone watches the NCAA tournament if you're a college basketball fan, but no one cares about the NIT or even the they have another tournament that's even less than the NIT. And he's like, basically, he's like, you can even get rid of the other bowl games if you want. Just make everything about the 12-team playoff. And so to me, the other problem I have with the sport is that there's just not enough meaningful games because you if you're not one of the 12 teams that's in the playoff or maybe five or six other teams, which possibly, like I'm guessing, could be on that bubble. There's another 300 plus teams in Division One, and they have nothing to play for. They're essentially playing meaningless games. And that has always been my problem with college football, is like you're a bunch of teams playing meaningless games. Like once the playoff was introduced, it made every bowl game meaningless. And it's like, well, what does it mean if I have 7, 8, 9 wins? Like if you're at Ole Miss and you have a great season, you're an LSU who goes 9-3, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, does it really matter if I win this game? Like, what does it do? In the past, it means I could go to a bowl game and it'd be fun. Now it's like, well, who even cares about the bowl game? Players don't want to play and fans don't want to watch. So to me, you got the rich getting richer and a bunch of meaningless games. I think the sport is a problem. And again, like I just cringe because the bottom line is like to me, yeah, dollars and cents on TV say that people watch big games. But if you're not a fan of one of those top 15, 20 teams, like you're just kind of being left behind. And so that's just what I don't like about it, the
Yeah,
sport.
it's wild to me that we live in an era where, you know, you and I growing up, we would always watch a bunch of different, like I wouldn't watch as many bowl games. I wouldn't be as interested in ones that weren't like the top of the top. I think I was a little later to the game in college football in general. I think I really only got into watching it more and more when I was, I think, like, late middle school, early high school. And even so, I didn't really care about the rest of the bowl games. But the fact that we live in a day and age where a startup media company like Barstool has their own bowl game is wild to me. I mean, just to comment on the fact that, like, there's bowls legitimately that people just don't care about is kind of wild when you consider where we were even, 10 years ago. So I just think you hit a lot of really important points there, and I think there's no simple way to document where we go from here. There's no simple way to kind of figure out like what's the best thing for the sport for teams that aren't Georgia, Florida, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, Oregon, etc., UCLA, USC, insert team here basically. If you're not one of those teams, like what do you do basically? Do you have a program? Is it cannibalization of smaller schools? Is it it's just there's so much that is like is are we as a collective college football community like can like self cannibalizing by combining so many things together? I think that was kind of the point I was trying to make, is just are we shooting ourselves in the foot by trying to bring all these schools into the same conference? And it's, at the end of the day, I think the American athletic system beyond the like middle and high school level is just so foreign for a lot, like, because you talk to some of my friends who went to school in Europe, like they didn't have college teams. They didn't, college athletics isn't a thing in, other places of the world. It's only in the States, which in some ways can make it more exciting and more entertaining, but in some ways it's just like, well, this is completely foreign. If you explain this to anyone in any other country, it just doesn't really make sense. But no, that point aside, I think there's a lot of question marks. There are more question marks than there are answers, and I don't know where we go from here, honestly. I would have personally liked a bigger playoff from the beginning,
not just four teams. I was like, okay, well, it's better than two, but it's not much better. But at this point, I think it's just such a nuanced issue. Excuse me. And there's no one right or wrong answer. There's no wrong answer, because there is a wrong answer, which is, I guess, where we're headed right now. But there's no right answer as to how to fix the problem or what we potentially see as a problem. And I have to give you credit, Willie. You called the whole live thing as a problem much earlier than I did. So I'll give you credit on that. But no, I think we're in a very tricky place in college sports. And I think the more we see over the next couple of years, the better idea we'll have as to like where we're going to go from here. Because, again, for those schools that aren't like the big legacy programs and the big teams right now, I was about to say big dogs. God, that Tiger Woods meme was hilarious. Where else do we go from here? So anyways, I think it's a very nuanced issue. I'd be curious to talk to a very prominent figure in college football about their perspective on it. But, you know, maybe for another time.
I'm not the first one to say this, but Paul Feinbaum has said, similar things. In fact, I'm going to actually quote, I actually brought up the quote right here from Paul Feinbaum, where he said, he says some things, and then he says, quote, "But ultimately, I think college football is headed for a cliff. I don't think it's going to happen immediately, but things move slowly. Things don't happen quickly in regard to change. And at some point, I do believe there's going to be a serious disconnect between fans and the game. Not the players, but the game and the people that run it." And then he says later on in the quote, he says, "Fans love the players, they love the coaches, but I think they're going to start turning on the presidents and even the commissioners." And this quote was said in the summer before the season, this past summer of 2022. So that would have been
summer before last, yeah.
So before last season. But that's how I feel. College football is an amazing game. It's an amazing game. It's never going to stop being such a great sport. But I think that this past weekend, really, to me, illustrated the problem. These were two great games. Amazing. I was glued to the TV. The first game was a classic game, albeit great defense, not great offense.
Great if you like defense, like the Super Bowl and whatever Super Bowl, the number Super Bowl in Atlanta a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Great if you love defense, but horrible if you're a neutral. Defense,
special teams blunders. But and the second game was a great game. But again, it was like these were four legacy programs, and these were like the only games of the year that mattered. And there were five other bowl games previously that probably no one watched. And so it's like, I just feel like we're going to get more of those like great games, and they're going to be great, but it's like the other 96% of the playoff. Like, college football can't turn into golf and tennis, where it's just increasingly becoming an emphasis on the four majors. And I just think college football, we're just in danger of becoming this thing where everyone cares about the playoffs, and then, the conference championship games are going to be obsolete. So conference playoffs, and then, when Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama and Georgia, or Texas and Oklahoma play, like, yeah, we'll get a huge audience, but that's it. So that's what I don't want to happen.
Yeah. I think we're headed for that inevitably. And I think that quote from Paul Feinbaum kind of hits a nail on the head pretty well. So it'll be very interesting to see how the sport changes, not just next year, but over the next little while. Before we move on to baseball, Willie, you prompted me to want to bring up a very important talking point. We hit on this a little earlier, but you talked about Georgia's schedule this year. Because their schedule in 2024 is even more interesting. Look, Georgia had a higher standard than most programs, and rightly so. They just won two national titles back to back. And I think we tend to do this thing in sports where we move the goalposts when we see success. Like, the goalposts get moved for Shohei Ohtani every season. They get moved for Clayton Kershaw back. They got moved for Kershaw when he was in his prime. Same for Trout. Same for all the great athletes from different sports. So they get moved every time they hit a milestone or hit a great achievement, because that's, you know, okay, you're great. Do it again. You know, it's the whole, what have you done for me lately? And I think part of the reason Georgia's team this year got some of the criticism it did is because of the conference schedule, because of who they played. Next year is going to be huge as to what direction and what legacy Kirby Smart leaves as the head coach of Georgia. Here's Georgia's schedule for next year. We've talked about the conference realignment, and they have a big, what's going to be a conference game now, but what historically would have been non-conference. I'll just highlight the big ones. Kickoff August 31st, Clemson in Atlanta. That should be a good game. Mm-hmm. September 28th, the game in college football that week, or should be the game in college football that week, Georgia at Alabama. The next week, Georgia Auburn at Sanford Stadium. Next week, Georgia Mississippi State at Sanford Stadium. Then the following week, at Texas.
Wow.
I mean, we are talking about a potential 4-week stretch in college football that has 4 classic games. I mean, yep. Mississippi State doesn't get a lot of the love, but they have been a better program than I think a lot of people give them credit for.
Absolutely.
And this is not just me, because Georgia beat Mississippi State last time they played. Last time I remember them playing, I can't remember when that was. Was it last year or year before? I think it was last year. I think they alternate between Mississippi State and Ole Miss every year. But this year was Ole Miss, who got a lot of points scored against them by the Dogs. But then, yeah, Texas in Austin should be one of the biggest games in recent years. Oh no, they are playing Ole Miss too this year. Never mind. They gotta figure out the whole.
Well, yeah, no divisions. Like, it's a hell of a schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Tennessee at home, and then a weird non-conference game against UMass the week before Thanksgiving, and then Saturday after Thanksgiving, Georgia Tech, as always. So I think it's just, there's a lot of really interesting things on the docket for the Dogs in 2024. I just am really curious to see how conference realignment goes, not just for the SEC, but for college football in general, and you know, say Georgia drops against both Texas and Alabama, but they destroy the rest of their schedule. Do they still get the same love as another team that lost 2 games in a big conference? You know, I don't know if that's going to hold up the same.
Oh, and can I read you? Can I just quickly read you Florida's schedule?
Yeah, I was talking about this yesterday with a guy I play softball with who's a big Florida fan. So he told me the schedule, so I don't want you to read it at home for the people who aren't aware.
And this is also because the SEC has a policy that they mandate you play a certain number of Power 5 opponents in a non-conference.
Yeah.
But it's just a question of, I mean, so they start. So the early part of the schedule is okay, but then it gets really brutal at the end. So they start off with home against Miami, which honestly I'd probably pick Miami to win.
Yeah.
Play versus Samford, probably win. Then, you know, versus Texas A&M and at Mississippi State, you know, games could go either way. We'll see if Elko can do well in his first year. And then at home against UCF, who's not an easy team. This is where the schedule gets brutal for Florida.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, home against Kentucky, home neutral site against Georgia, at Texas, home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, at Florida State. That is a stretch where they could go 1, 2, 3, 4. They could go 0-7. They might be underdogs in all 7 of those games, depending on if Kentucky can be as good as they were in the past. So that's...
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal, man. I have no other words for it. It's a rough schedule.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of when, not if, Napier is gone. So we'll see.
Yeah. I've seen so many memes on social media about Billy Napier and the Saban coaching tree. It's like all of his assistants grew to be fantastic coaches, and then there's Billy Napier.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? College football is such a fickle thing. I mean, Kirby Smart went 7-5 his first year, so, or was it 6-6? I think it was. I can't remember. I remember losing to Tennessee on a Hail Mary, and then some guys I went to college with, they came knocking on my door because I was out sick with some recurring stomach thing. And they came knocking on my door just to clown me, and I was like, all right, I get it. Now I'm the one laughing with a couple of natties. So, although one of those guys is a Michigan fan, so he's going to be even more insufferable than he already is if they beat Washington. Oh, very quickly. I'm not going to ask you to make a prediction because I don't want to make a prediction either, because I don't want to say Washington because I'm rooting for Washington and then be wrong. And I don't want to say Michigan and then be right, because then I would have to either way stomach a Michigan win. But what do you how do you think the game's going to go on Monday?
Oh, man. I could see the game going so many different ways. I could see it being a classic game. I could see Washington blowing out Michigan. I could see Michigan blowing out Washington. I do think it'll be a close game, but that ultimately Michigan will prevail. That's my take. I just think Washington's offense, I watched them a fair amount, and they at times look great, and at times there have been games where they've been slowed down a little bit. And I think Michigan's defense and pass rush is elite and will be able to slow them down. And I don't think Washington can stop Michigan's run game.
I was just going to say, I think Washington is pretty good in the interior as well, though. I'd give them more credit than I think a lot of people are nationally, but I would tend to agree. Michigan's interior. I mean, look, I was wrong about Michigan all year. I had not really given them enough credit all season, especially in wake of the sign stealing stuff. Which, did you see the stuff that JJ McCarthy was saying today?
I did see that.
That was the most wild stuff. Let me pull up the quote, because it's some of those wild stuff that I think I've ever seen out of someone who's about to play for a national championship. Like, this is the last thing you go out and say, because it's just like, I get it. Like, you're, you know, a 20 something. I'm sure I said even dumber things in my 20s or my early 20s or late teens. Let me just find the quote, because it's really, really dumb. He said 80% of teams in college football steal signs. We actually had to adapt, because in 2019, 2020, Ohio State was stealing our signs, which is legal. We had to get up to the level they were at and make it an even playing field. So I don't know if that is the right thing to kind of talk about doing right before playing for a national championship. That's just me. You know, I think it's, I don't know. Something about seeing that quote is just like, ooh, I don't know if that is the smartest thing to do. I mean, granted, I'm not a football player. I'm not a you know, college athlete. I never even sniffed the level that he's at athletically. So yeah. I'm going to, you know, I don't know. That quote was just a head scratcher when I first saw it.
For sure. I think he was missing the part that what Michigan was doing was completely illegal. And
yeah, like, stealing signs is fine. You just can't have someone on your team buy tickets like right behind the other team and then electronically, like, yeah. Did we learn nothing from the Astros? Which, again,
yeah,
another great little snippet. Al Michaels throwing shade at the Astros during that Thursday night game.
Yes.
That was funny.
I love that. Quick thing, just real quick thing.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the baseball, too. You know, Michigan's a team, like I said, like, growing up, I watched a lot of Big Ten. And I just want to give a quick ode to Michigan, because, you know, when I was a kid, Lloyd Carr was there. And Lloyd Carr was a great coach. You know, he was one of the best. They were top team who competed with the best of the best in the sport. You know, they were, I think they won 5 conference titles, if I'm going to be exact. They won a title back in the 90s. And then it was really bad. They had Rich Rodriguez, who came from West Virginia. I remember watching West Virginia when they would run those option teams. You know, he was under 500 at Michigan in conference play, I believe. You know, and then Brady Hoke, where, you know, he was they had a good season or two, but then they missed the bowl game and they were very mediocre. They were like around 500 one season, which for Michigan is unacceptable. You know, and then Jim Harbaugh came and, you know, probably got very lucky to not get fired because during the COVID season, it was going really badly. He definitely made the teams better. You know, they never really had a good quarterback really until JJ McCarthy got there. And now they've reached three straight playoffs. And I just want to say it is a cool story. No matter what you think of Michigan, the cheating, like I do think the sport is better when Michigan is relevant and good. And, but we'll see how temporary it is. If Harbaugh leaves for the NFL, I don't know. I don't know if Michigan is now in a place where they're good enough. You know, like, as you know, Georgia was not nearly this good before Kirby Smart got there. Or Alabama before Nick Saban, even. So,
Had me right until JJ McCarthy being a good quarterback because.
Well, he is. I mean, look, I think he's.
He has the ability to throw the football very hard and is very good at completing 5-yard passes. I'll leave it at that.
I'll say this. I don't understand how. I don't understand it, but the pro people like. Say JJ McCarthy is going to be a top 10 pick. So like, whatever.
Oh no, that's headed for another Bryce Young. Bryce Young
somehow
a flop.
Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a second round pick. I don't get it.
No, Michael Penix Jr. He should be one of the highest picks in the draft. I don't understand that.
Well, in a lot of mock draft season, a second round pick or late first.
Well, I mean, CJ Stroud failed the what was that one test that they give to play?
Yeah,
whatever it was. He failed and he's. Very clearly the offensive rookie of the year. Meanwhile, I think Bryce Young had the highest score and he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh,
I mean, yes, he's on a bad team, but like,
is he gonna be a bust?
Very much so, yeah. Dude, he's shorter than Stetson. He's an inch shorter than Stetson Bennett. And people are talking about Stetson Bennett being short or like too short for the NFL, like not a good enough arm. I'm like, Bryce Young is shorter, doesn't have a better arm. He just doesn't, objectively.
Yeah.
That drives me insane.
They're by the way,
rehash that.
Okay, very last thing. I just want to say it's so funny because, like, some, you know, a lot of times if you're like a sports radio guy, for example, or like sports commentator, you'll have like guys that you like and stuff. And I feel like for me, there have been two players that throughout, I mean, probably more, but just like off the top of my head, there have been two guys who like I really liked and. That I feel like are my guys where like I'm dead wrong. Like one was Bryce Young. I love Bryce Young, which he's not going to give up yet. Tough context in Carolina, but looked terrible. And the height definitely does not help. And there's a basketball player named Jahlil Okafor that came from Duke.
Oh,
and
I remember
like,
Jahlil Okafor.
Unbelievable. I just like was dead wrong about him. So yeah. Those are my two guys that stand out. I'm like, I was with them the whole time, but I just, we'll see. I don't know.
Where were you on the Greg Oden stuff?
I wasn't quite as high on Greg Oden as a lot of people, and also
there's a throwback for some of you who remember college hoops from the mid 2000s.
Yeah, they were unbelievable. I wasn't as high on him, and I actually never thought he was going to be quite as good as people thought.
Yeah,
so people... I was okay on that, but there have been other situations where I was definitely dead wrong.
Yeah,
so
yep. Wild stuff. All right, Willie, college football, one more game left in the year, and then we can get on to a playoff system that makes sense starting next year.